Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Yeah, welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you can be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Available wherever fine podcasts are, including the iOS podcast app, which you can get on this iPhone or your iPhone or an iPad or something. Be sure to leave a rating or a review. It's a great way to help Going In Raw. It always jacks us up in the rankings there in the iOS podcast app sports and rec category.
Yeah.
We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We've got a bunch of our friendos with us watching this live stream, watching this podcast as a live stream.
Yeah, our last thing we got to record before Christmas.
It's Christmas time. We swallow milk and we dole out pain. Right? And in the world of empty.
Oh, yeah.
They feed Steve the world.
Let Steve know it's Christmas time.
Uh-oh, demonetized. Anyways, Patreon. It's a great way to support the show financially.
Yeah. Oh, one of the rewards.
Los Ingobernables. Oh, yeah. Going In Raw. That's the $50 shirt.
Yeah.
Los Ingobernables de Japón. This is
not
one of the rewards.
Not a reward.
No. Anyways.
It's a good shirt, though, Steve.
Yeah, it's a great shirt. Speaking of shirts, we're also at prowrestlingtees.com/Going In Raw. Check out all the designs there. They're really great.
They are.
We're talking about 205 Live and NXT today.
Correct.
We had a great NXT.
And a pretty decent 205 Live. Yeah. 205 Live, yes.
All right, well, let's start off talking about that then. What happened on 205
Live? Yeah, of course, the first match of 205 Live is really a feud I really don't care about. And that's the one involving Jack Gallagher, Brian Kendrick.
Yeah.
And going up against Kalisto and Grand Metalik.
Yeah, but you know what, man? It gets Grand Metalik on TV.
Oh, I know. I mean, it's like I like all these wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't feel like there's any heat to this feud whatsoever.
There isn't. And this match is known more for the little gif that went viral at the end of it.
Oh, I know. Hey, don't throw stuff at wrestlers.
I really hope somebody catches that guy.
They caught him, I heard.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Press charges, man.
I know.
Because that's, I think technically it's assault.
It is.
It's assault. Anyways, it was a tag team matchup preceded by a Brian Kendrick promo. I'll be honest, I forget what he said.
Once I saw this kicking off the show, I'll be honest, I kind of checked out for a few minutes. I went on Twitter, and it's like the last couple of days, the only time I've been on Twitter. I'm not on Twitter a ton. I mean, I'll go and read stuff, but I don't really like tweet.
Yeah.
The last couple nights, like I'm sitting, I'll have a beer or a glass of wine, just relaxing, I'll go on and just, you know, chat with people.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happens, this happened in the first hour of Raw.
Yeah.
It's like I finally have time to sit down,
yeah,
decompress a bit,
yeah,
have a beverage.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on Twitter and respond to a few people.
Mm-hmm.
And just so happens, it happens at the beginning of wrestling shows.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is.
Yeah, I don't know why. So why again? I honestly forget. Why does Brian Kendrick not have why does he have a problem with Kalisto? I know Kalisto beat Jack Gallagher last week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the Selena Del Sol. That was cool. This week, Kalisto once again hit his, what do they call it?
Selena.
SDS.
Yeah, Selena Del Sol.
Selena Del Sol.
Selena.
But then Brian Kendrick broke up the pinfall.
Yeah, then Kendrick, not the legal man, mind you.
Yeah.
Stays in the ring, just beats up Kalisto, so the ref calls for the bell. DQ. Your winners by DQ, Kalisto and Grand Metalik.
Mm-hmm.
Gallagher hits a headbutt on Kalisto, sends him in the ring post. He falls outside the ring. Some jerk throws a water bottle, hits Kalisto in the head.
Yeah, man. Face. What the heck?
Don't do that.
What the heck?
And that's how that ends.
It's not cool, man.
It's not cool at all.
No, just be, you know.
You know, I'll say this. This crowd for SmackDown was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
This crowd for 205 Live was not good.
It was dead.
It was, yeah, no life to it. And then whoever it was that threw that water ball at Kalisto.
Big jerk.
Yep.
Yeah.
Next, Enzo is backstage with Drew Gulak and Arya Davari.
He was ripping into them saying,
yes, what happened?
What happened? And Drew Gulak said, I'm going to make it up to you. I'm going to take Cedric Alexander down for you. And then Enzo was like, give me some more passion. And so Drew Gulak ended. He tried it three times. The third time, he was like yelling at him, I'm going to rip him limb for limb, whatever. I'm going to take care of him for you. So Drew Gulak is trying to maintain his position as top Enzo lieutenant. Top Zo train lieutenant. by saying that he's going to destroy Cedric Alexander that night. And then Enzo looks at Daivari and says, see, that's the kind of passion that I want to see from you as well.
Yeah.
And then it left on a shot of Daivari taking off his glasses, his awesome yellow glasses, being like, food for thought.
Yes.
Some food for thought.
Yes.
Next, we had this Colin Delaney fellas all over the place.
Yeah.
Colin Delaney making his huge 205 Live debut.
I know, following his NXT debut a week or two ago.
That's right. Following his ECW debut
10 years ago. But it was Hideo Itami's 205 Live debut, and it's a bummer that the crowd couldn't care less about
it. His music hit, he starts walking out, and the crowd's like, oh, God.
I even was hoping when he did the GTS, there'd be some reaction, because at least that used to be CM Punk's finisher. I mean, Hideo Itami invented it.
So, interestingly, 205 Live got to like number 6 in the WWE Network ratings last week. So that's heartening to see that.
Yeah.
You just want, look, it's one thing to be able to read, oh, are the numbers out? Oh, we still have a job. That's great. It's another thing, like, I would think, and I know this anecdotally, one of the big allures of being a pro wrestling is the crowd's reaction to your hard work.
Yeah.
And like, they either get this is boring chance or delete chance, or even worse, just nothing at all.
Yeah, that would be the worst.
I would think that'd be the worst, because at least if they're chanting this is boring, it's like, okay, well, at least I then have the opportunity to do something because they're willing to chant something.
Yes, at least they're engaged to the degree which that they're willing to express criticism.
Exactly.
But if everybody's just sitting there, like half the front row looked like they were looking the other direction.
I know.
And after the match, after Hideo won, you know, he was trying to pose on the turnbuckle in the ring, get some reaction, looking around. Look on his face was like, What do I have to do?
The look on his face was, I've made a terrible mistake.
That too.
I should have got up to 210 somehow.
I know.
Yeah, man, I don't know. It's a bummer. It's times like that where it's a bummer. But, I mean, here's the thing. Like, you love Hideo Itami. I love Hideo Itami. A lot of our friendos out there love Hideo Itami. It's not a good spot to be on 205 Live. Unless you're, okay, so the two, I would say, kind of most over guys on 205 Live, Enzo.
Yeah, he got a reaction last night.
And then Drew Gulak. And Drew Gulak is probably the second most prominent personality in terms of character. I mean,
yeah.
he's probably probably the second most prominent character. But that's the thing about 205 Live is that if you're not sort of a character who can dazzle the crowd just based on your personality alone, and Drew Gulak has really tapped into something with his PowerPoint presentation and just his personality in general. Even Cedric Alexander has a hard time getting over. He's the best guy in the ring, putting on these great matches.
Yeah.
But because he hasn't been written into a storyline or has a character that anybody's really held on to, people don't really care about him.
Yeah.
Adeo Itami is just by nature of the fact that he's never going to be a great English promo guy, because he just doesn't have a command of the language like a guy like Enzo, and there's no reason to expect him to do so. He's not going to, it's going to be a tough, tough battle for him to get over, because your in-ring prowess just doesn't matter with that crowd, seemingly.
I know, it's a bummer.
Sometimes too, they can bring a good crowd to their feet with simply the in-ring stuff. I mean, they have been able to do that.
If the crowd's completely disengaged from what's going on in front of them, then it's not going to matter.
Right, exactly. And so it's you're reliant on promos, character, and personality, and that's something that, although I appreciate what Hideo does in the ring, I loved his heel work in NXT doing that. And this might be, the one thing that I can say about his debut is that they did what we said they should do, is just have him squash jobbers.
Yeah.
If they have him squash jobbers throughout, you know, sort of tangential to whatever's going on with the title storyline, because that's where we eventually want him.
Yeah.
And then if they have something really good, if they have a proper payoff to this Enzo Cruiserweight champion storyline, then maybe him emerging as number one contender after destroying, you know, jobbers.
Yeah.
And then like the lower card guys in 205 Live already established, if he runs through Jack Gallagher, if he runs through Brian Kendrick, then maybe they'll respond when he does emerge as number one contender. That's what we can hope for. But man, it's 205 Live. I don't know. I don't know how to fix that, man, but beyond getting them in their own venue in front of a fresh crowd.
That's one of the major things that needs to happen.
Yeah.
Next, Enzo interview backstage. Talking to Christy St. Cloud. Is that her name?
Yeah, yeah, Christy.
Is that her there? Was she there or was it Dasha?
It wasn't Christy St. Cloud.
Okay, that was NXT then.
I think it was Dasha.
Okay, Dasha then.
Pretty sure it was Dasha.
I watched them back to back, so they kind of merged into one show in my mind.
I love Christy St. Cloud.
Enzo's interview was interrupted by Cedric Alexander.
Yes. And Cedric is doing everything he can with what he has.
He does a good job with scripted dialogue. There's just not much to it.
He just doesn't have anything. They're just writing him as boring babyface guy. It never works, man. It doesn't work.
I know. He needs some dimension. The one positive thing, more than so than anything, came out of his feud with Gallagher and Kendrick was that one match where he showed a mean streak.
Yeah, I know.
And they've dropped it ever since.
I know.
I mean, there's flashes of it in the ring because he's good at projecting intensity in ring.
And we kind of saw it at the very end of this episode.
Yeah.
When Drew Gulak ran, or Daivari came in there and he dispatched of him really quick.
Yeah.
And then Drew Gulak tried again, I think, and he took care of him real quick. And then he just kept on yelling at Enzo. That kind of thing was really cool. That's what he needs. He needs an edge and a sense of urgency when it comes to him. Like, okay, how much cooler would it have been if Enzo was given an interview and he was just yapping and yapping and yapping? Cedric doesn't come in and talk. Cedric waylays him.
Mm-hmm.
He comes in, destroys him. He does what a Samoa Joe would do, you know?
Yeah.
But people would react to it because we know that Cedric's supposed to be a face and he's shutting up Enzo.
Yeah.
If that was Cedric's thing, was to just shut up Enzo. Imagine if every time Enzo comes out, how great would it be if every time Enzo comes out,
he runs in through the crowd and drops him with a lumbar check.
Right?
That'd be great.
Like, they have Enzo. It would be an impetus for them justifying the 6-minute long promos from Enzo. He gets in the ring and he talks so long that his voice starts to give out. Cedric Alexander runs from the crowd, lumbar checks him, and the crowd, they'll start chanting, "Thank you, Cedric."
Yeah, yeah.
If you get five weeks of the crowd chanting, "Thank you, Cedric," he's going to take that title off him and he'll be so over.
And, you know, Enzo could start looking over his shoulder while he's talking.
Right, exactly.
Like run the ring and just say something in 30 seconds or run out.
Yeah.
There is a story there.
And if Cedric has a, like, they come out with a shirt that says, "Shut up, Enzo."
Oh, my gosh. See, that's good. That's way better than what they've been doing.
There you go.
That took, what, 30 seconds?
Mm-hmm. I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but come on now.
That's why we're booking Raw on our channel.
Exactly.
So
we got a good episode coming up Monday.
Yeah, we do.
I'm very excited about that episode.
Takes us to our main event. Drew Gulak versus Cedric Alexander, rematch from Raw. Enzo comes out, drops a, for him, brief promo.
Mm-hmm.
And then Drew drops a promo where he says this line that made me laugh. There's a time for clip art. And there's a time for action.
That's
so he's pretty much saying, no PowerPoint presentation tonight.
Yeah.
We're going to fight. And fight they did. Because this was a stiff, brutal, vicious Drew Gulak, the likes we haven't seen since he was in his like medieval gimmick.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's kind of what it was.
What was with that? Anyway? I mean, I guess you got to start somewhere.
Well, the only thing that was kind of medieval about it was his Titantron. He just came out in like a silver, like knee-length coat.
Well, yeah, he looked like it was like a birthday costume for medieval times.
Yeah, like he just went to the Renaissance fair.
Right. But like a really crappy one, like Sarah Logan on her Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
All sorts of shots of her and Ray Rowe looking as legit as possible. Like they look like they just came out of Outlander, you know?
Yeah.
Like they look legit. He did not. He looked like it was like a Toys R Us version of that. Yeah. Anyways,
good match. Really stiff.
Oh, yeah. They always have good matches.
Good back and forth. They kind of recreated the spot from Raw where Gulak had Cedric in that submission move.
Mm-hmm.
And Cedric had to struggle extra hard to get to the rope.
Yeah.
To break up the hold.
Yeah.
At one point, Cedric goes for a superplex. Drew knocks him off the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
And then a spot we've seen a couple times is Drew where he's up on the ropes and he gets nervous about it. He's not comfortable up there. So he's sitting on the top turnbuckle and his knees are shaking because he's nervous. Cedric takes advantage, yanks him off the rope.
It was a good spot.
And delivers a lumbar check, sold fantastically by Drew.
He did the thing where he bounces up.
Yeah, a good 2 feet in the air. Cedric pins him, picks up the win.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
They're really doing a great job of booking Cedric's in-ring prowess, especially the power of the lumbar check.
Yeah.
His matches lately have been spectacular.
Yeah.
Enzo gets up on the apron, tries to distract Cedric. Daivari comes in through the crowd. He eats a lumbar check, too.
Like, immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
Good stuff.
Oh, no Tony Nese this week.
No.
I wonder what his next thing's going to be.
They right. even announced the date for, sorry, this is a different topic, for Cedric and Enzo's match.
Oh, I know.
They probably don't even know what they want to do with it.
Probably not. Although hopefully they're watching this and they know what to do now. Here's a great thing. You can even do this, not even a lead up to the match. You can have the match, have Enzo screw Cedric out of it, and then have Cedric realize, I don't even care about the title. I just want him to shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's far more damaging than taking the title off.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, people, just do it.
I know.
I won't even take credit for it. We'll erase this episode.
Yeah, we'll make it private on YouTube.
Exactly.
Never existed.
Exactly. Never happened. Just never happened.
Just do it.
Let's talk about NXT.
Ooh. Yes, please.
Some great stuff in NXT this week.
Really good episode.
Kicked off with, title change. Sanity versus Redragon. Let me ask you something.
What?
Who enjoys throwing up the Undisputed Era gang sign more?
He's so into it.
And it's so smooth when he does it. He's like, he comes out and he does this stuff with his hands, and he goes,
I know, right into it. I know.
I can't even do
it. I know, right into it.
It's like,
but he still gets on the top turnbuckle and does this stuff.
Yeah, I know, exactly. But then Bobby Fish comes out there and he's like,
yeah, no. Well, they did it in the ring, and as soon as Kyle O'Reilly gets off the turnbuckle, he goes right into it.
I know, yeah.
And Bobby Fish has to turn and look at Kyle O'Reilly to remind himself, oh, I got to put up the UE.
Well, he's probably looking at it being like, how do you do that again? Behind.
Yeah, it's the E behind the U, okay. Like this.
Yeah. But Kyle O'Reilly looks...
I know, he's busted out.
He's such a 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
He just comes off like a 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But also a creative character.
Yeah, I know.
So anyways, really fun match. Of course, Red Dragon were taking on Sanity. Who owns the phrase Red Dragon?
Either Ring of Honor or New Japan.
I think so. I like how they always, whenever somebody spent time in Ring of Honor, they always just call it Japan. Because chances are they've been in Japan.
Yeah.
But like, it's always like, oh, including Japan. They've been all around the world, including Japan. Like, well, oh man. Anyways,
yeah, this is a decent enough match. O'Reilly and Fish really showing off their striking prowess.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
There's at one point, Eric Young is on the top rope. Adam Cole runs in,
baby,
pulls him off.
Yeah,
and then Nikki Cross runs to the ring. Gets on the apron, does a running cross body off the apron onto
Full
Adam Cole.
Speed, it was great.
Starts beating him up.
Oh, so great. Security comes down, take her off. Look at Adam Cole. He's like, get her out of here.
Yeah.
Get her out of here. The great thing is they go to a replay later on of Adam Cole shoving Eric Young off the top turnbuckle. And it like focuses on, the replay focused on him. And he was like, there you go, Kyle. There you go, Kyle.
Yeah.
It was great.
And then he distracted Damo later on, right?
Mm-hmm. Damo came out of the ring to go attack.
Yeah, he runs him.
Adam
he runs
Cole.
Damo into the ring post.
Yeah.
Redragon hits total elimination, picks up the win.
Mm-hmm.
New NXT Tag Team Champions.
Redragon again.
Our new Tag Team Champions.
NXT Tag Champions. Next up, we got another. Although, was this the same one?
No, it was shorter.
It was a newer. Yeah, it was like a recap. Was there new stuff in it?
Maybe.
I didn't catch if there was new stuff in it. I know there was old stuff.
Yeah, there was old stuff. They did profiles for Roderick Strong and Lars Sullivan during this episode because they were in a match.
Mm-hmm, yeah, for the...
Winner goes on the Fatal 4-Way, new number one contender for NXT title.
Right.
But yeah, a lot of this Roderick Strong profile stuff was
Now, number one, I always loved the Roderick Strong little docu.
Yeah, those were really well done.
But then it just reminded me of like that the one silly aspect of it, and it's both silly and heartwarming. But, like, that part of the interview where it just looks like, I mean, he's on the verge of tears because he's just talking about his family. And it, like, pulls the heartstrings. But, like, they didn't show any interview bits where he's not doing that. And so it's just like, does this guy cry all the time? It's like, it reminds me, I know you haven't seen much of Mindhunters.
Yeah.
But there's, like, a case that they're on and they're, like, interviewing this one guy who just keeps on incessantly breaking down into tears.
Oh, man.
And they're just like, what is with this guy? Why does he keep crying? Anyways,
I need to get back on that show.
Oh, you'd like it. You'll like it. It's good. We're almost at the last episode. It bums me out. So this is the first time I've ever seen Heavy Machinery, and I actually kind of really liked.
Oh, you like them? See, this,
yeah, I
watched this, and I was like, okay, now I kind of get what Steve's coming at. I was into it it was funny because I was into it. I was like, okay, cool. Heavy Machinery gets some TV time, show a bit of the personality.
Yeah.
They go up to the Maserati. I'm like, okay, and the rest is going. And then when Otis tries to pick up the car, like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
And then when Sabatelli and Moss comes out, they kind of dominate the rest of the thing.
Yeah, they do. But you didn't like when they kept on trading, like, okay, really, Jack? Yeah, that's right, buddy. Oh, really, friend?
Yeah,
like,
no,
they kept
I got
on trading.
Yeah, yeah.
That made me laugh. And then when he said, he didn't say stakes and weights. He said something else, and Otis got mad because it's stakes
and
weights.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought, I don't know. I thought it was funny.
No, it was funny.
I thought it was funny. But yeah, it is. Look, I wouldn't want, I still say I don't like heavy machinery. I still don't, I wouldn't like them in the ring. I just thought this particular segment kind of tickled me.
Yeah,
it kind of made me. Yeah, it kind of made me laugh. A lot of it, though, had to do with the continual, like, the Tino Sabatelli and Rick Moss claiming it's their car.
Their car, I know. That's great.
The fact that Tino Sabatelli apparently likes Rick Moss so much that he's willing to say that a car that is so obviously his is theirs.
I know.
I really like that.
That's real friendship there.
It really is a real friendship.
Like, is this our laptop?
I guess at this point it kind of is. Is that our laptop?
I guess if that one is, this one is too.
There you go. I mean, I consider this our office.
Yeah, but it's most definitely in your house.
That is definitely true.
Next.
No, I think I liked Otis Dozovic trying to lift the car because I knew that it wasn't going to do it.
Oh, I know. But he was so gung-ho about it. That's what made it great.
I know.
And he was he was casual about it, too.
They should have spent a good 30 seconds of him trying and failing. That would have been great. It would have killed them totally.
Oh, I know.
But it would have been great if this crazy guy just thinks he can lift cars and he really can't.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, dude, you're not Braun Strowman. You're just a fat guy. I don't know. Something about it made me laugh.
Yeah, well, it was funny.
But I don't want you to think that I like heavy machinery now.
Oh, you like
it. I like that you're on the same level as I am now.
No,
you
I'm not
understand.
Quite. I'm not I understand more, but I'm not quite the same
they're
level.
They're so bad.
They're not bad. If they were bad, then they wouldn't be entertaining, necessarily.
I like that you call this next one a Sonya Deville press conference.
That's what it was.
This was the best Sonya Deville I've seen, though.
Yeah.
This was an ambush. She was at her lock. She was showing up to her locker, and then a dude with an iPhone and a freaking microphone recorder.
Hey, Sonya.
How do we get to be one of the reporters that covers NXT?
We have to be a low-level NXT writer.
Oh, okay.
Because none of them are actual reporters.
See, that just ruins the illusion for me.
See, like, kayfabe. It's a press conference. If everybody's standing, like, the Lars Sullivan was a press conference.
Yeah, well, I mean, I put press conference here just as shorthand for interview bit that's not standard pro wrestling interview bit.
Ambush. I love these, though. I thought she was really great. Because they're, I guess next week she's going to have a match.
Against Ember Moon.
Probably her last match in NXT, I would imagine. So, yeah, she said I beat Ruby
Riot. She was
Riot.
Referencing the match there.
The triple threat.
Yeah. To earn a spot in the match at the last takeover for to fill the women's title since it was vacated by Asuka.
Yeah, it was good.
So it was really well done, yeah. So that hopefully that match will be good.
I like that she said, yeah, next week I'll be taking on Ember Moon. She walks away and the guy's all, next week? I guess it's next week. He said that out loud. Anyways, next up, this is great. It was a Lars Sullivan profile. I was about to talk about the friggin' shot of Lars Sullivan.
Oh, man, you can continue because that Lars Sullivan profile was pretty slim in comparison to Roderick Strong.
Yeah, it was pretty short. I want to see more of his family. But we didn't get that. Lars, in my opinion, like Lars Sullivan, they should give him the backstory of just being sort of birthed by the planet.
Yeah, I was going to say he's just spring forth from a mountain. Like maybe a boulder rolled down a mountain,
yeah.
And at the bottom it cracked and out popped
exactly.
Lars Sullivan.
Yes, exactly.
Something like that. I think that's a good origin story, yes.
That was good. I like that.
But they're getting fully behind Lars Sullivan. They're upping the production value of his entrance.
Oh, his entrance is immaculate now, and I hope they do this every... I don't know if this was just a happy accident of production.
No, it wasn't. They were waiting for that shot.
You really think so?
Because the shot we're talking about is a silhouette. Because he does his entrance, he gets in the ring, and they cut to that light.
Yeah, I know.
And it stays there for a bit, yeah. Like they're waiting for his cue to stand
but it's
up.
All it's like all the way zoomed in. Because then they zoomed out from it. Because I think he entered into it, and it was like sort of on kind of a close-up.
And then they zoomed out, yeah.
They zoomed out.
So, you know, I think that was intentional.
I hope so. That'd be rad if that was
it. Because
it's a beautiful shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful shot.
I'm pretty sure that's intentional.
Because it's all just rim light.
Backlit by one spotlight.
Yeah, it's great.
And you just see a silhouette against an otherwise black background.
And they bring up the house lights. And I thought, when I first saw the silhouette, I thought that he was facing that way. I thought it was a back. And then the house light comes up and it's his front. Because his hair, you don't have any hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, that's really cool.
I know. It was really well done.
It was rad, man.
So you can tell they got high hopes for
it. It would be cooler, though, if they somehow did, like, if his entrance
played out like his origin story, where a boulder just came down the ramp and then broke up.
It hits the ring, cracks open, and out spawns Lars Sullivan.
That'd be great.
We're full of good ideas.
I know. What the heck?
This is a really good match. Roderick Strong apparently cannot put on a bad match.
It's impossible. This guy is amazing. He's fantastic. It's just he loses too much.
Oh, I know.
This has got to be.
What did I say before we started? I said back when you were predicting he would join Undisputed Era, and for me, it felt too soon.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting to the point now. If he keeps losing, something's got to change.
I feel like this maybe he needs a loss against like Raul Mendoza or something, or Fabian Aichner, and then it'll be the catalyst. He's like, I'm so good, but I'm not winning.
He goes and digs up that Undisputed Era armband that Adam Cole gave him.
Honey.
Well, I guess he threw it back at him. You're just throwing trash at me. I really don't appreciate this.
Oh, honey, have you seen my damn shirt?
No, it's an armband.
They gave me a shirt, too.
Oh, that's true. They did. I think he threw that back at him in the security camera footage.
Oh, yeah. It's my armband.
Threw that back at Adam Cole.
Sorry, I didn't mean to violently attack you with trash.
You did. Don't appreciate
it. With trash.
Larson is garbage.
So Roderick Strong pulled off a couple feats of superhuman strength during this match. He superplexed Lars Sullivan off the second.
Oh, that was great. And then Lars Sullivan completely...
No-sold it, I know.
Yeah, well, he it was like a one count because he went for a pin and he no-sold it. I want to look at my trash bit here.
And I love... no, it's good. It's probably good visual.
That's actually really
good. Roderick Strong was delivering all sorts of vicious elbows and chops.
Oh, it was great.
Running, jumping knees.
Yeah.
He had an Olympic slam, which was impressive.
Mm-hmm.
None of it was enough to keep Lars Sullivan down. He eventually wins with freak accident. You know, you pay attention. You're just so tickled with yourself.
I know. I'm sorry. Yeah, he won with freak accident. I can't wait till he delivers a freak accident to Braun Strowman. That's what's going to be fun. Or like if they get him in there, I don't know, Otis is on tag team. Was another Haas in
Amo.
Wow, he already did. He deliver the freak accident to
Ono,
Chris Hero. Yeah, to Ono.
Yeah, he did at Takeover.
I'll have to rewatch that because it's a cool move.
Yeah,
it's probably cooler with Haas's.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. No, so I think either this or then maybe like another loss. Hopefully, will be the catalyst because man, I love Roderick Strong.
Me too.
And I think I'll really love him as like a heel.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw any of his work in Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to go back and do that. But, man, I think he's great.
He is great.
He's great.
Next, a Tyler Bate interview.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't go back to his old, like, remember every time these days when we get a Tyler Bate match, they always go back to his
the
profile from the UK tournament a year ago.
I know. Where he looks way younger than he does now.
I know, exactly. So at least it was with Chrissy St. Cloud. It was right before he came out for the match.
Yeah, the curtain, yeah.
So that was good. But he basically said, you know what I mean? Pete Dunne, this goes back a long way. I won the title. We put on a barn burner at
TakeOver Chicago, and now I'm going out there and win my title back.
Yeah, so it was good, man. I like
it.
He looked great, too.
Yeah, he did. They provided us another excellent match, a worthy follow-up to their match from Chicago, which many people have called the best WWE match of the year.
Man, I wonder if you had swapped out the circumstances with each of these matches, I actually kind of preferred this match over their last one. And I thought their last one was like a match of the year candidate. Mm-hmm. I think we have it really high on our...
I think it's two or three.
Yeah, best matches of the year. But like the actual match itself, I love that they kicked out of each other's finishers. Yeah. Like it was a proper follow-up.
Yeah, and it was different in terms of the stiffness, the brutality, the physical
nature. I felt
that
it was more intense.
It was.
And I love that.
So I feel like their first match was the pace was quicker.
It was a technical clinic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where this match had some of that, but also was way more physical, it felt like.
The physicality was there. The selling, I felt
Tyler
was...
Tyler Bate selling those hand spots, the finger spots, was incredible.
It was fantastic. It was
the
great.
The way he's leaning against the rope and just kind of shaking his hands and popping his fingers
that
back
that bit
in
where
place.
Pete Dunne like sort of gave him a sucker punch, but a sucker kick, and the ref had to like hold... like, and Tyler Bate got pissed and got up and tried to rush him.
Yeah.
And the ref had to hold him back. All that stuff I absolutely loved. Sorry, that thing's all full now. All that stuff I really, really love.
Yeah.
I thought it was absolutely fantastic. And if you take... So, like, the circumstances of this, I knew, and I didn't know... I didn't read the spoilers or anything. I just understood that...
Oh, Dunn was going to retain.
The title wasn't going to change.
Yeah.
And I know at Chicago, I think I kind of knew that Dunn was going to win, even though there was always the chance he wasn't. Understanding and knowing this is on NXT TV and not at a takeover, like those circumstances, and there was no build to it, led me to believe, okay, well, this match isn't as important as the last one, but the actual contents of the match, I think I like better than
or
last
just
time.
As good at least, yeah.
I thought so.
Yeah, there's some really good storytelling, really physical. Yeah, you mentioned they each kicked out of each other's finishers. It started off with Tyler Bate kicking out of the Bitter End.
Yeah.
And then there's this great spot where they all like they're both trading punches.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Back and forth. Tyler Bate hits down with a pretty huge haymaker.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't make the cover because of his fingers.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
Pete Dunne worked over to start the match.
Yeah, it was great.
Some good storytelling there. Eventually, Bate hits Tyler Driver 97. Dunne kicks out.
Mm-hmm.
And this, like, there was a suplex off the ring steps onto the floor. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of awesome spots.
Yeah.
And Dunn eventually won with Bitter End. But, man.
No, it was
fantastic stuff.
Fantastic match. It really. And they gave it so much time. They gave it like,
it was like half an hour almost.
Was it that long?
From introductions to the end, it was about a half hour.
Yeah, because right
the
that.
Episode of NXT went over by about 13 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. About 75 minutes long. So, yeah, definitely check it out.
Yeah. No, boy, that was good. That was a really good match.
And all three of their matches they put on this year have been really good in WWE.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been
the
fantastic.
Finals for the United Kingdom tournament was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago was really good. This was really good. It's a shame we don't get to see it more often.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
So maybe this in 2018 we'll see more of these guys.
I mean, could you imagine if, like, I know, could you imagine if we got, this is what they're doing, no build.
I know.
Could you imagine what, like, if we got a little bit of story here, we got some, like, build to it?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Add Trent Seven in there.
Mm-hmm. Imagine a triple threat. With British Strong Style.
That'd be fantastic.
You know, all going for that United Kingdom Championship.
Oh, man.
You know what I hope? I really hope two things happen in the first third of 2018.
Okay.
One, at least one member of the United Kingdom division is in the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Two, United Kingdom Championships defended at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
I think every belt should be defended at WrestleMania.
Oh, I agree totally.
Imagine if they gave Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, 12 minutes.
Oh, I know.
At WrestleMania.
Yeah.
They would tear the house down.
I know.
Which is maybe why they don't do it, because they don't want to take spotlight off Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I know. It's a bummer.
It is.
Let's answer some questions.
Yeah, let's answer some questions. That's a good idea.
I have to get on the Patreon.
I'm already there.
Good job.
Fat Bastard Champ Alex Foster, how would you book Tony Nese character as a face?
He gets pissed off at last week. Comes back in like a ninja gear, and then he starts picking off the members of the Zo Train one by one.
See, your scenario involves him losing the vest, which I was not into at first.
No, it's ninja gear, but just the vest on.
Okay. As long as he has a vest on, he can open it with just his pecs.
He like throws ninja stars at
For
people.
Me, that's the most essential aspect of Tony Nese's packaging is that he takes his vest off without using his hands.
Are you married to the vest? Can it be any other garment that he takes off with his
So long
pecs?
As it shows off his abs.
Okay, yeah. So, like a ninja gear.
Just missing that part.
Like a little window that he hastily cuts out with scissors.
Yeah, but it has to be buttons up here. So when he just flexes his pecs, it comes off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without that, in the whole scenario, I'm a no.
I wonder what is that? What does fasten that? Do you think it's buttons?
Yeah, it's just kind of like, or some
probably
little
like
magnets
some
or something.
Really weak buttons. I was thinking magnets myself. I was thinking magnets.
I mean, because you have buttons like they have on the title belts. Those affix
come off
pretty
yeah.
No, those ones, the title belts affix pretty hard.
Yeah, I know. Those are difficult.
So you need some like snaps, like those, like you go to the Western wear places.
Yeah,
those,
right.
Those button-up shirts
the
with
super
the snaps.
Weak ones, yeah.
Yeah, you can probably.
I can probably do it with like some like really, really, like if you take some scotch tape and you do this a lot,
yeah.
Get rid of the adhesive and then just sort of gingerly put it like
but
that.
You can't move until you
walk
out. You
can't move
place,
at all.
And then you just.
And then pff, like that.
Yeah, you probably could.
Good to go.
Jonathan Reiner.
I love my thumbnail for this episode.
Did Tyler versus Dunn 2, this is actually their third match, beat their match at Chicago? Because in Jonathan's opinion, it was darn close.
I'm going to go on the limb. I'm going to just say it. Yeah, I think it did. In my, for what I like to see in professional wrestling.
This one felt more like a New Japan match.
Yeah, it did. Oh, good. Yeah. Good qualifier.
Very
there.
Physical.
Yeah.
Second City Champion, AO Worm. If you could pick three singles guys and two teams that fought at Final Battle, who would they be?
If you could pick, like, to join NXT?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
Well, Young Bucks would be one of the teams.
Oh, God, yeah.
Young Bucks and War Machine.
Okay, yeah.
And then singles competitors.
I'd bring Dalton Castle over.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Dalton Castle. Jay Lethal.
Okay. Bully Ray in NXT.
He's retired, man.
Terrible idea.
He's also retired.
Tommy Dreamer in NXT.
No.
Terrible idea. Who else fought at Final Battle?
Or Marty Scurll did.
Final Battle.
Did Will Ospreay wrestle at Final Battle?
Yes, he opened it up.
Okay, then Will Ospreay.
Will Ospreay. Yeah, it's actually my number one. I love him.
Manuel Garcia de Paredes, Power Rank. Other stuff, Sabatelli and Moss co-own.
A house. I'm sorry, a condo.
Yeah, a condo.
Mm-hmm. A lawnmower. A dog. A beer stein.
A kegerator.
Because it's engraved and it has both their names
on
it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. A kegerator. There you go. A mini fridge.
There you go. Well, that's kind of like a kegerator.
A man cave.
A pool table.
I love this. Tim Morris, give me one good reason why Killian Dane and Nikki Cross shouldn't be in the mixed match challenge. That would be great.
Oh, man. That'd be
come on. Awesome. That'd be great.
This is an interesting question from Adam Mayhem. How long do you think it'll be until they break up Undisputed Era? It'd be interesting to see what the dynamic is, if they even address it with Redragon having belts and Adam Cole not.
He seemed pretty happy for them.
Well, at the time, but if months go by and they have belts and he doesn't, then they're not really Undisputed.
Well, it would be a case of them dropping the ball. He's got to create some opportunities, and when he does that, they have to help him achieve, bear the fruits of that labor, of that opportunity. If they fail him in that respect, then I could see the dissension. But if he has to pull his part.
Yeah.
You know, they can't do everything for him.
Tommy T, hey, friend. So my question is, who are some non-United Kingdom guys you would like to see Tyler Bate or Pete Dunne face at WrestleMania in singles matches?
Some non-UK guys.
Pete Dunne versus AJ Styles.
Go for the top. There yeah. You go. I'd like to see Pete Dunne versus Samoa Joe.
That'd be good.
Did he say Tyler Bate also? Or
yeah.
Versus Pete Dunne, okay. Oh, man, look at Tim Morris trying to have us rank the Star Trek series.
I know.
I'll do that on my Four Lights podcast.
We can do it here.
Tyler Bate, who you going to see? Oh, Tyler Bate. Oh, give me Tyler Bate versus Johnny Gargano.
Oh, that'd be good.
I see that.
Yeah,
man.
That's real good.
I want to see Johnny Gargano against all the best wrestlers.
Me too.
Because God damn it, he's good.
He puts on good matches.
All right, man, let's power rank. Tim Morris wants to power rank the top Star Trek TV series. All right, well, number
you
one
think
is
Deep Space Nine, right?
Okay, here's the thing. Next Generation is iconic.
We said Deep Space Nine is really well written.
Deep Space Nine is the best show, but iconic is above best show.
All right.
So Star Trek Next Generation
is
number one.
I'm more familiar with Next Generation.
Sure, yeah.
I've pretty much seen the entire series.
It's the best.
Yeah, it's good.
It's number one.
Then Deep Space Nine.
The best actual show in Star Trek is Deep Space Nine, without even any question.
Yeah.
From top to bottom, from front to end, it was one long 7-year story. It's great. It's fantastic. I was just watching it again last night. Freaking, they've got this over-the-air channel called Heroes and something, H-I, Heroes and something. It's channel 10-3, right? At 9 o'clock, they have Next Generation. 10 o'clock, Deep Space Nine. 11 o'clock, Voyager, and at midnight, Enterprise.
Wow.
It's been really unproductive for me to sit on the couch
for four hours. Star Trek.
I was yelling at Lacey last night because there's this great episode where Lieutenant O'Brien's old captain goes rogue and tries to, like, hunt Cardassians. And at the end, O'Brien beams over there and tries to talk him down. And it was, like, a great scene. I forget the character actor who played the other captain. But then Lacey comes in and starts like talking to me. And I'm like, why are you talking to me? She's like, you've seen this hundreds of times. And I'm like, I know, but it's great every time. I don't know why she stays with me, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Anyways, number three.
What about Star Trek, the original series, animated series?
That's a pile of crap. I've only seen like one of those. Number three is Voyager. I think Voyager might be the most fun of all the Star Trek series, because especially in the last couple of years, they just devoted it completely to fan service.
Yeah.
They brought in the Borg. They were bringing in people from Next Generation. Lieutenant Barclay became like a recurring cast member because he was back on Earth trying to get them home.
Yeah.
Number four.
Original series?
No, it's trash. It's crap. It's pure crap. It's the original series is like glorified fanfic.
You think Enterprise is better than the original series?
Yeah.
Wow. You don't like Enterprise at all.
I hate Enterprise.
The original series is so boring. I can't watch it. It's unwatchable. It's trash.
Wow.
Canon starts with Wrath of Khan.
Yeah.
Even first motion picture isn't canon. I would actually say the fourth best is Discovery, even though a lot of people are crapping on it.
Yeah.
In the end, I thought it was really good. And then five is Enterprise. And then, yeah. So there you go.
Karen, assuming authors of Pain and Sanity are going up after Takeover Philadelphia, power rank.
Power rank.
Who should be the next duo to challenge for the NXT tag titles after the Sanity Undisputed Era? Rematch, if they have one. Current options. Street Profits, Heavy Machinery, Moss and Sabatelli, TM61, possibly Oni and Lorcan and Birch. Can't think of any others that have been on TV. War Machine. Eventually.
Yeah, War Machine. I want to put off Street Profits because if they bring up Street Profits now to face for the tag titles, they're not strong enough. They haven't crossed over into legitimacy yet, and so they'll be written off as kind of a joke. So I don't want to do that.
That's kind of what happened with Heavy Machinery. They got put in the title picture too early.
Did they fight for the titles?
Yeah, they fought Authors of Pain on an episode of NXT
for
them.
God, that's a bad idea.
Way too early.
Be kind of interested to see. Have we seen Authors of Pain versus Red Dragon?
No.
Wouldn't mind
outside
them.
Of War Games, no.
Wouldn't mind them giving it one more go. What happened last time? Authors of Pain last week, they had a match, right?
Yeah, again.
Was it against Jobbers?
Lorcan and Birch.
Oh.
Kind of.
Yeah, kind of. And they beat them easily.
Yeah.
Did they get attacked by Red Dragon?
No. They just won.
They just won.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a pain.
Yeah. They're probably next in line. Then they'll go up. Then maybe they'll have a match against them at Philly.
That could be.
Rumble weekend, they get brought up to Maine.
That'd be good. That'd do a lot for Undisputed Era.
Yeah.
Jay Singh, how would you book Neville's return? So Neville, so there's a guy running around backstage in a ninja outfit. But he's got a Geordie accent.
Gosh.
Go ahead, book Neville's return.
All he has to do is just show up.
Intercontinental tournament from Stephen Larson books.
Yeah, wrong. There you go. That's how you do it.
Yeah. Maybe he has to do a show.
Maybe what they're doing with the U.S. title is going to lead to Neville coming back. Dolph is dropping the belt in the ring.
Did you hear the rumor that he's going to be off TV for a couple weeks?
Yeah.
That's good.
It'd be better if they let him wrestle other places. Do what they should have done with CM Punk when he won the belt and left.
That would be good.
Start showing up in Ring of Honor. Or even just like an independent place.
Ring of Honor or Japan. Oh, they wrestled everywhere, including Japan. I know Styles had, a year and a half in Japan? Or was it just a year?
It's a couple years, I think.
Oh, it was a couple years. 2014 to 2016?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, he wrestled all around the world. Yeah, and Orlando for a long, long time. At Universal Studios.
He wrestled around the universe. Nightcrawler, hey guys, kind of a big question here, but in terms of wrestling, what do you think will be the legacy of 2017, or will it just be a nothing year like so many others in the past? Legacy of 2017 as a wrestling year.
Okay, so if we're talking about, he said that's a big question, so he's talking about the macro, not just like NXT.
I think, the one thing we're going to talk about.
I think it's the year that New Japan put their foot forward in the United States. Yeah.
Yep.
The crossover year, because this is the year that Bullet Club came into Hot Topic.
Mm-hmm.
Los Ingobernables de Japón.
Yeah.
In Hot Topic as well. And I know it's going to be like early January when Wrestle Kingdom comes around, but it's going to be really interesting to see just how many subs they sign up.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of marketing budget they're going to have for Wrestle Kingdom here in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Well, you saw that picture of one of the LED boards at Staples Center was running advertisements for.
Really?
Jericho versus Omega.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. That's great. So, yeah, I think 2017 is going to be the year that...
Remembered for, New Japan's expansion.
I think so.
In terms of WWE...
If you think about it, there were so many people that came up to NXT And then, I mean, I don't know how soon it's going to be that Ricochet signs, but everybody's going to kind of lump that in with, you know, the very tail of 2017, beginning of 2018. But, I mean, you know, you have, you can kind of consider the UK tournament as, I mean, I know that they didn't, I think they have like a handful of those guys under contract.
Yeah.
If that really gets started in 2018, people look back at 2017 as the genesis of that.
Yeah.
The Mae Young Classic was huge. They signed a bunch of those, the women there. I think it's going to be in WWE. It's going to be when a lot of people took their first step into WWE. And, you know, over the next 5 years, we'll see the fruits of that, you know, come to pass.
Yeah. How that bears out on the main roster. Definitely.
Thierry Thabata, CM Punk finds it insulting, excluding seeing somebody get seriously hurt or even die in the ring. What's your biggest wrestling fear? He says his is Vince leaving or selling WWE and leaving Kevin Dunn to take over the company instead of Triple H. Mine is probably, it's equal parts. It's kind of like this. It's equal parts thrilling and terrifying for the WWE not to be a McMahon owned company anymore. If Disney bought it, I just say Disney because they're buying everything.
Yeah.
If Disney bought it and didn't have Stephanie or Triple H or whoever run it, and they brought in,
it could be a WCW scenario where it's a huge corporation.
Yeah.
Dictating what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think mine would be, short-term at least, what would happen if WWE decided, okay, we're not going to be on TV anymore.
If they went exclusively to Facebook, oh my gosh.
Or some streaming service.
That'd be terrifying.
I know.
That'd be awful. Yeah, that would not be good.
One more.
Okay.
No, this is an interesting one. Connor Matthews. Power Rank top 5 tips for crowd etiquette at a wrestling show. 5 things you don't do. 1, throw stuff.
Yeah, number don't one, throw stuff. Don't, well, specifically at the wrestlers.
But just don't throw stuff, period.
Yeah, okay, don't
well,
throw stuff.
I'll make an exception for banners.
Oh,
if that's,
yeah.
If that's a, not like
streamers.
Banners. Streamers. If it's a part of the show.
Yeah, okay.
But that's usually beforehand, they'll let you know. Like we went to PWG, they say, okay, if you have streamers, this is what you do.
Okay. If you're going to have a sign, be very cognizant of when you put it up, who is behind you, and that you're not impeding on their experience.
Yes.
Don't
start chance to get attention for yourself.
Don't start chance. Simply don't be that guy at the Raw after Mania who cared. Oh, man, I wanted to punch him so bad. Who cared only about starting a chant. I felt so bad for anybody within 5 seats around, like in a radius around him, because I would have been like, boy, that would ruin my experience.
Don't chant CM Punk or what?
Unless.
Not McMahon's in the ring.
McMahon's in the ring. Trying to think of other etiquette. Be aware of, look, man, family, people like to take their families there. I don't think I've taken any of my various kids to any WWE events. But I'd like to think that if I did, there wouldn't be somebody next to us, like, you know, screaming their head off with expletives and stuff. Don't be the guy in the crowd. Okay, so when I went to the house show 2 years ago, there was a guy next to me or a couple seats down. Like, I was front row and so was he, like yelling at Emma about the shoplifting thing. She's like 5 feet away from him.
Yeah.
That's the tackiest crap. I hate that. Don't try to be the guy just getting attention.
Yep.
But cheer and boo who you want to boo and cheer.
Be courteous. Be respectful to the talents in the ring and have a good time.
Absolutely.
All right, everybody.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah, there you go. Jay Swooten here in chat says the number one rule is don't go into business for yourself.
Yep.
Hilton, can we get some music, please? Thank you, Hilton. Anyways, that's it for now. We've got Dirt Sheet coming up tomorrow.
Yep.
Be sure to check out that. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.